Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-hosts Gwyn Cheltimer, and our guests this week, Bob Bossin and Marianne Maruzic. I've been reading Davy the Punk and enjoying it very much.
Oh, good.
So what wonderful stories those are. Now, why did it take you so long to write? Were there difficulties in tracing your father's career?
There's several answers to that. I'm a slow, careful writer. I think good writing is really editing. You know, that initial spark on something is great to get you started, but then it takes ages and hours and hours and hours in writing and months of writing to make it sound like it didn't take hours and hours of writing and months of writing. I work hard at getting it to say just what I want in a way that I think other people will read, and I revise and I drive people around me crazy because I keep revising and revising and revising. So the writing does take me a long time, and the book, the actual writing phase of the book and the show that I'm doing at Marianne's in Coburg, probably 5 years of writing, and just it always amazes me. You know, I write something the first day and I think it's pretty good, and a couple months later I look at that again and I go, oh my goodness, how could I have, you know, nobody would know what that pronoun refers to. And what was I thinking? So writing takes me a long time, and I think it takes most writers a long time. And in terms of the research, my dad died when I was young. He died in 1963 when I was 17. And I knew something about his background. I mean, I knew there'd been kind of a shady background. I didn't know a lot. And I certainly became interested from the beginning on. And in fact, I tell a story both in the book and I use it to start the show, which is a true story, that one day, I don't even know the year, but I think it would have been the early 1970s, I stopped in at the United Bakers Dairy Restaurant in Toronto, which some people may know. It was there, opened its doors in 1912, and still going to this day, albeit in a fancier location than when I used to go there on Spadina Avenue. And I was in, and the counter man was an old Jew, counter of this delicatessen, and so I started kibitz with him, and I said, how long have you been in Toronto? And he said, Länger wie meine Zähne, which is Yiddish for longer than my teeth. And I said, well, did you know the Bossins? That's my family. And he said, sure, I knew the Bossins. I knew Hi, Becky, Bessie, Davy. Just started naming my family. And I said, well, Davy was my father. And he said, yeah, I knew Davy. We used to call him Davy the Punk. And I said, Davy the Punk? Why did you call him Davy the Punk? And he said, because he was a punk kid, he was a Verbrecher, a gangster, a lawbreaker. And, you know, that really set me going. I mean, I've never forgotten that incident. And really, from then on, when I would have time, I would ask people about my father's story and pick up a little bit here and a little bit there. And then a few times over the years, I would make a really concerted effort and take a little period of time trying to interview people and find who was still alive, who knew something, or putting in freedom of information requests and getting into the archives, that kind of stuff. But it was always tempered around performance and other things I was writing and working and raising a family and all those kind of things. So it was kind of a very part-time project, but one I was always serious about. And then when I turned 60, which was 9 years ago, I had this little epiphany that said, if there's something you've always wanted to do and you're 60 years old and you haven't done it yet, when do you think you're going to start it? And I took myself seriously, and I basically went off the road and stopped performing except very rarely and got down to serious work. And so then it was about 8 years from that point.
Tell us a little bit more about your relationship with your father.
Well, I had a good relationship with my father, although he, as I said earlier, he died when I was quite young. I was only 17. No, he was a good dad, I think, now that I'm a dad and realize what all's involved. He was an odd man, I think, because he had lived outside the law for so long. See, he wasn't doing that by the time I was old enough to know what he was doing. He had shifted from the gambling business to show business. He was a booking agent for nightclubs, so I grew up around show business, and look what happened. And in fact, that, I think, was a conscious choice by him and my mom that they didn't want me to grow up in that world. There were other reasons as well that they didn't want me to grow up around the underworld, but that was certainly a part of their decision. But because he had spent so long outside the law, he used to teach me things like, even a fish don't get caught if he keeps his mouth shut. And he was silent. I mean, there were people who thought he was mute. He simply didn't speak. Something else he always used to say to me is, what you don't say can't be held against you. But around his pals and his family, he was a great storyteller. And every now and then somebody would be just shocked to hear him telling a story because he's this guy who never spoke. But he was a great storyteller, and Jewish men of that generation, and probably Italian men too. I mean, just one of their greatest pleasure was to sit with one another and tell stories. Mm-hmm. And, you know, tell stories about their lives and reminisce about things.
Bob, read from Davy the Punk for us.
Okay. This is a section after I had that conversation at the United Bakers Dairy. I went to see a cousin who was 20 years older than me and asked him about this Davy the Punk business for my father. And he told me this story. He said, I got married in June of 1947, and your cousin Tevye got married 2 days later. So we decided, the four of us, would all go to New York City for our honeymoon, where we could see Joe DiMaggio and the New York Yankees. They had a game against the Detroit Tigers and their great Jewish star, Hank Greenberg. My father-in-law loaned us his car for the trip. You see, we were poor as church mice and about as naive. I thought we'd just walk up to Yankee Stadium and get tickets in the bleachers. But your Uncle Hi set us straight. But then he said if anyone could get tickets, it was Davy. Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say, I was reluctant to call your father. Your father was not a friendly man, and we all knew he had some shady connections. But what could I do? I called him, and he was very nice. He said he would help us out, and he gave me a phone number to call when we got to New York. No name, just a number. He said, tell him I told you to call. Well, we drove all day. We pulled into Manhattan at night. We checked into a dumpy hotel with Murphy beds, squeak, 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 squeak. And in the morning, I called the number, and a voice answered and said, yeah, that's all, just yeah. Well, I said who I was, and Davy told us to call, and he said, wait. Well, then another voice came on, sort of a hoarse whisper, and said, you're the honeymooners, right? Well, I said we were, and he said, everything is arranged. There's four tickets in your name at the stadium. You don't pay for them. Everything is taken care of. Well, I said, gee, thanks. That's terrific or something. And he said, you got plans for after the game. As if we had plans. He said, you want to go to the Copacabana? I said, well, thanks, but we're on a pretty tight budget. He said, kid, you don't pay for nothing. Just tip good. And after, you can catch the second show at the Latin Quarter. Dress nice. And he hung up. Well, that day, we took the subway to the Bronx. When we got to the stadium and picked up the tickets, they're in the fourth row, right behind where the president sits for the World Series. Hank Greenberg hit a home run. Well, we went back to the hotel, we got into our best clothes, and we went to the Copacabana. I told them who I was, and it's, yes, sir, Mr. Boston, right away, Mr. Boston, and so help me, just like in the movies. They took a table from the back, they moved it in front of the front row, they put a tablecloth on it, and that's where we sat. Sophie Tucker sang right in front of us. The chorus line practically kicked us. Well, a few years go by, and I'm watching the Kefauver hearings on television. They were the biggest thing on TV. Senator Kefauver was interviewing these gangsters and crooked politicians. And all of a sudden, I hear a voice I recognize. I call up my cousin, Tevye. I said, Tevye, turn on the TV. It's a guy. It's a guy I talked to in New York. You know whose seats we were sitting in? No, he says, who? I said, the Prime Minister of the mob, Frank Costello, that's who. So that's a true story.
It's a wonderful story, Bob. And thank you so very much for reading for us and for being interviewed. And now I'm going to ask you about the musical that you've made from it, the one-man musical. It must have been hard to choose what to cut out.
Quite right. That's been the process, and I think I've finally got it.
Marianne's sitting here beside me.
Yes, I'm doing it in Coburg.
It's going to be an exciting night. If people want to read Davy the Punk before they come to the show, where would they be able to buy that, Bob?
Your bookstore, if they don't have it, should be able to order it, or it's available from Porcupine's Quill, who are the publisher in Ontario, and I'll have copies with me.
Oh, good. Thank you so very much.
Okay, well, thanks all of you.
And now a few words from Marianne about Bob's performance in Coburg.
It's wonderful to be here once again and to talk to you. We're really excited about having Bob Boston in our house again. The book has been a great read and looking forward to hearing all the stories live. If you like stories about gangsters and about the racetrack and Jewish Toronto and just old Toronto in general, and if you like to have a good laugh and get some information, it's a fantastic book and I'm sure it'll be a terrific show.
It's a huge surprise, too, because really one doesn't think of Toronto as being, you know, full of gangsters.
That's right, exactly.
And all that
I know.
And it was really quite something.
That's right. And their connections with Waxy Gordon and with Al Capone, even, and Babe Ruth, and all kinds of people. It's very, very interesting. I'm really enjoying reading the books. I'm looking forward to having Bob. And the contact information, again, is metro.arts@techsavvy, TEKSAVVY.com. And I'm on Facebook at Metropolitan School of the Arts in Toronto, so you can send me a message there. My telephone number is 905-377-8274. And the show is on Thursday, April 23rd at 7:30, and the doors open at 7. Look forward to seeing you there.
Great, thank you. And listen to our programs anytime and from anywhere on our Word on the Hills website, www.wordonthehills.com. Or to connect with us, please send comments, queries, or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs to wordonthehills897@gmail.com. And thanks to you all for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week.